Welcome to the BaseCS podcast, where we explore the basics of computer science concepts. I'm your host, Saran, founder of Code Newbie.
And I'm Vaidehi Joshi, author and developer.
And she is the brilliant mind behind the BaseCS blog series. Today, we are continuing our exploration of
trees again.
This season of BaseCS is brought to you by DevDiscuss. DevDiscuss is a show I work on with the team at Dev, an international supportive community for developers. The show addresses the many burning topics that pop up on Dev every day and is hosted by Jess Lee and Ben Halper, two of Dev's co-founders. Past episodes have included unpopular opinions with Kelsey Hightower, staff developer advocate at Google Cloud and a legendary voice in tech.
So an unpopular opinion should be like, computers were a mistake. Was this all worth it?
And how changing your name is a difficult, unsolved, and sometimes personally devastating problem in tech.
I basically walked through this world, through this minefield of not knowing when I'm going to have this like sort of deep emotional wound reopened.
As well as how little known tools can have big productivity gains.
And I think it gives me the sense of structure, which I really enjoy. And also, you can color code different things.
Each episode features interesting guests from diverse backgrounds who are active in the software space. This podcast is your place for burning tech questions, answers, and genuine conversations. And we also end each episode with commentary from the everyday developers who call Dev home.
You'd be surprised how many things making music and coding have in common.
True to the Dev community, DevDiscuss wouldn't be possible without the input from all of you. So listen, rate, and subscribe to DevDiscuss wherever you get your podcasts. So last episode, we covered the basics of trees. We talked about the different parts, the fact that they are non-linear data structures. Today, we're going to dig in a bit deeper. So last episode, one of the things we focused on was how to locate parts of a tree. How do you identify where a node is? How would I describe what type of tree it is?
So when it comes to describing trees and classifying them, usually what we are considering is how tall our tree is, which might sound a little bit odd because it seems like a strange thing to think about if you're describing the tree, maybe. But then it also kind of makes sense because previously we talked about how we relate pieces of data in a nonlinear data structure to other parts of the structure, right? Because you don't have numerical ways to think about it. You have to compare it to other parts. Mm-hmm. So it's a similar thing with a tree where you basically compare the root to the end of the tree, or you compare a node and where it is in the tree based on how tall it is.
Yeah.
When we talk about like how tall the tree is, really what we're talking about is two characteristics. And those two things are the depth and the height.
Ah.
So when we say depth, what we're really concerned with is like the depth of a node, how deep the node is within the tree. And a simple way to think about depth is by basically asking ourselves, how far away is this node from the root of the tree?
Okay.
So the way that we kind of think about how far away something is by, you know, looking at
links.
Because
yes,
that's the only thing we can really look at, right? There's nothing else to go off of.
Yeah, that's true. There weren't really that many options.
So we can figure out how far a node is from the root by counting the number of links, which we can also call edges, that it takes to reach the node that we're looking at from the root. Mm-hmm. So if I have a root node that has a child that has a child, then the child of the root is really the grandchild, right, of the root node,
mm-hmm.
because it's yes. one generation removed. And so I can figure out the depth of that node by counting the links from the grandchild back to its grandparent. So
okay, so there are two links.
Right, totally. Two links, because you have the root node and then a child and the child's child.
So what's the unit? So like, for example, if we were to, you know, measure the height of like a physical tree, we'd say it's, you know, 10 feet tall, right? Like what's the unit for depth? Like two links?
Yeah.
Is that what I would say?
Yeah, okay. You could say that it's like there are two links connecting the node we're looking at to the root node. And sometimes you'll just see it referred to as like, this node has a depth of two. And it's like implied, oh, it's like two links away.
Okay, so that is depth. What about height? How does that work?
So when we talk about the height of a node, what we're really talking about is the maximum number of edges that it takes to go from that node to its furthest leaf. So this is slightly confusing, but really, I'm going to rephrase it, and I think it'll be a little bit less confusing. What we're really talking about when we say height is, what's the longest path? That's really it.
Ah, okay.
We can basically ask ourselves, how far away is this node from its furthest away leaf?
Okay.
For example, if I have a node and it has a child node and that child has two children and maybe one of those has another children. Has another children. English is hard with plurals sometimes.
Especially
with big families.
That's true. That's true.
But okay, so say you have a node and it has, you know, a child and that child has two children and maybe one of those has like four more generations coming from
man.
It.
That kid was busy. Sorry, inappropriate.
We basically, in order to find the height of that node, we'll look at that node itself.
Yeah.
And we'll look at all the children coming from it and we'll kind of trace and see, you know, from this one node, what is the longest path to its leaf? And a leaf is any node that doesn't have a child. So we're basically saying, what's the longest branch?
Yeah. From any particular node.
Yeah, from any point in the tree. I could be looking at, like, you know, a tree and be like, I'm going to just look at this one section. What is the longest branch from where I am? And where, like, what is the longest branch to a place that is a leaf?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's not that one tree has a height. Like, I wouldn't say, you know, tree A has height of 20. It's that each node has a height within the tree.
Mm, you are correct and also slightly incorrect, which is that
story of my life.
Well, no, I think you're just writing yourself off because you said something and you actually hit upon a really important property, which is that every single node that we look at, you know, the height of, we're looking at a subtree within a larger tree, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Which means if I can calculate the height of a node, by proxy, the root node is also just a node, right?
Mm-hmm,
we're agreed on that, right?
Okay. Yes.
So that means you can also calculate the height of the root node.
Mm.
So what?
And then that would be the height of the tree?
Yeah, exactly. So like if I asked you, like, what is the height of this tree in general, you would basically look at the root node and you would be like, what is the furthest away leaf from this root node?
Mm-hmm.
And once you figure out that distance, you have the height of the tree. So you can also tell me the height of any given node in the tree, and you can tell me the height of the tree itself because you know that the root node is also a node.
Very interesting. Okay, so these sound important, but I don't know why. Why are they important? Why do we care about these two things?
Hmm. Good question. So I will try to exemplify it by showing you. If I tell you that I am looking at a tree and I want you to picture it and it has a...
I can see it now.
It has a height of 705.
Okay.
Can you picture it?
That's a tall tree.
Yep. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then if I tell you that I'm looking at a tree and it has a height of 4, can you picture that?
Mm. It's a pathetic tree.
But... And I could do a similar thing with depth too, right? Where I could be like, oh, I'm looking at a node in this tree and its depth is, you know, 75 or something. And you'd be like, oh, okay, I know it's like 75 links removed from the root just by me telling you this one thing. And that's kind of like why height and depth are so important, because they tell us a lot about what a tree looks like without even knowing necessarily everything else about the tree.
Yeah.
The reason that these two characteristics end up being super useful is because if you know how to talk about a tree and like how it looks, then you can start to distinguish trees from one another and you can see how like some trees might look different than other ones. So what I mean by this is that trees all follow this rule of like there's a root node and it has children and has to have a link connecting to it. But I could describe a tree that, you know, has two children and each of these children has their own two children. Mm-hmm. And then I could also tell you that there's a tree where there's a child. It doesn't have any children of its own. And then there's a long generation of like 16 children on the other side.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And now you can imagine those two different trees, right? Just by me visually describing them to you. And those are two very different types of trees. They both are trees, but we would probably characterize them differently. And it turns out that the way that a tree looks is how we classify them.
Mm.
So if I kind of describe one of the trees that I just explained was like the one where you have like two children who each has their own two children. It's very much like nuclear family, right? Each kid had their own two kids. That tree is considered to be balanced.
Hmm.
But if you had a tree where, you know, there's one kid that didn't have any kids of its own and then another kid that had, you know, seven generations of kids.
Yeah.
That tree is unbalanced.
Mm. Okay, so unbalanced, it just sounds like it's a bad thing. Like, it sounds like you maybe don't want that. Is that true? Is that like a characteristic of a like a bad tree?
So unbalanced trees aren't necessarily bad, but they're not really preferable if you want to, you know, do operations on the tree. So if you have a balanced tree, then you can kind of traverse through it and walk it in a very efficient way because you know that it's
in a predictable way.
Yeah, in a predictable way, totally. Because you know, like, each section of the tree, and really what we're talking about is subtrees, they're going to be kind of the same on each side. They're kind of mirror images. You know that they're not going to be, like, wildly out of, you know, disproportionate or something.
Yeah.
In an unbalanced tree, you don't even know. It could be a totally different story on the other side of the tree. The left subtree could be very different than the right subtree. And the reason that a balanced tree is kind of preferable is because when you want to do operations on the tree, like, you know, finding a node or inserting a node or maybe searching for a node in the fastest way or finding a path between two nodes, all of those problems you probably want to do with some sort of operational efficiency. You don't want to be searching through long, long parts of a tree, especially one that's massive, because it's like, that's not going to be a very fast way to do this. It'll take us forever. And balanced trees are very good for efficiency because they actually allow us to run specific algorithms that we know are going to be, you know, performant at a certain speed. And one of those you might have heard about, I won't talk about it too much today, but binary search is one of those where if you have a balanced tree.
I have heard of that.
Yeah, a balanced tree is great for that. You can't do binary search on an unbalanced tree because it won't help you. It'll just be bad.
Okay, so is there a way for me to find out if a tree is balanced or unbalanced? Like if I'm going up to a tree for the first time and I'm like, hey, tree, what's up? What's your deal? Are you balanced? Are you totally unbalanced? Like, is there a way for me to find that information, to figure that out?
Well, usually what will happen is when you have a problem that is going to be, you know, represented with a tree structure, and what a lot of computer scientists have done is in order to make operations fast and efficient, they'll actually create certain trees that will be self-balancing.
Ooh.
Or they'll be like, this tree has a rule where the moment that it becomes unbalanced, it's going to figure itself out and balance itself.
Ah, interesting.
Which is another type of subset of trees. And so they're like really fancy, but like that's kind of like how you would solve. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a very self-aware Zen tree.
Yeah.
It's like, oh no, my branches are out of order.
I need to balance myself.
But usually, like, these problems are ones that have been solved by, you know, tweaking the way that the tree behaves. And it's like, we know we don't really want an unbalanced tree.
Mm-hmm.
They exist in nature and also in computer science sometimes. But in order to really make the tree work for us for certain problems, we'll probably tweak the way that it behaves because we can do that with computers and maybe not in real life. But
very pretty cool. Okay, so let's bring all of that back to like developer life, the developer world.
Yes, we've been out in the woods for a long time.
We've been, I love how that just worked out. Yeah, so we've been in the forest, been in the woods for a while. So if we bring it back to us as developers, as coders, where would I see trees or deal with them in real life?
So if you have ever worked with an object-oriented language,
yeah,
then you probably have had some sort of idea of you've had to work with some sort of idea of class inheritance.
Yes.
Where you'll have like, you know, some sort of main class. I know, for example, in Ruby, there's like the object class. And then, you know, mm-hmm. like you can have like – you can create other classes that can inherit from other ones. And, you know, you can extend classes. So the idea with that is like – when you are extending classes or when you are having some objects that inherit from other ones, what you're really doing is you're basically creating a hierarchical structure where you're saying there's this one type of object and this other object inherits from it. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it as a tree, it's like the node, the child node of a parent node.
Yeah.
You basically have this hierarchical tree structure, but it's really the class hierarchy, which is what it's often called in object-oriented mm-hmm. languages. That's really the concept that we're talking about with trees, but we're kind of like mapping that onto a programming language and the way that mm-hmm. it handles dealing with data.
Yeah. Neat. Okay, very cool. What else? So if I program in Ruby, which I do, I've encountered trees and yeah, I guess inheritance, like I think I knew that, but I didn't really think of it in, you know, in this tree node type way. Mm-hmm. What else? Where else might I encounter trees in my programming world?
Well, even if you don't even go into programming with a language at all and you're just like interacting with your machine just as a consumer of technology, you've probably dealt with documents and then folders and then folders inside of folders. Actually, you know what? I know you. I've seen your Google Drive. You have lots of folders inside your folders, girl.
I do. I have so many folders.
Well, what you really have is a really, really big tree. Like if you think about like the file system on your computer or the file system within, you know, a single application or on Google Drive or even just, you know, the files within a single folder somewhere on your computer, that is really just a representation of a tree, but in your file system format.
Mm-hmm.
So the file structure of a project, if you have a directory, you usually have the root directory.
Yeah.
There's a reason that the root directory is called that, right? Where you have the root directory and it has maybe directories within it. So those are subdirectories, which are mm-hmm. child mm-hmm. nodes. But they're really also trees within themselves because they contain directories within them and, mm-hmm. you know, folders and files within them. And if there's just a file on its own without a folder, then that's kind of like your leaf node, right? Because that's where it terminates. There's nowhere to go. There's nothing else inside of it. But if you have a folder with 10 other folders, then you're like, all right, I know that, you know, I have 10 child nodes or children nodes. Man, that's really hard. And each of them might have, you know, their own directories within there. And so basically you're dealing with nested structures. And that helps you kind of think about the recursive aspect, right? You've mm-hmm. talked about like trees within trees, subtrees within larger ones. So if you have folders within other folders, you really are representing the recursiveness of that idea again.
Oh, you know, you have really made trees sound not nearly as scary as I thought they were.
Well, good. I'm glad.
So thank you for that. I really appreciate it. And now because, you know, I hear about trees all the time. And I'm always like, and it's always in the context of computer science interview questions. Mm-hmm. So, you know, many layers of terror in, mm-hmm. you know, in that. And so in my mind, it's always been just like the scary, you know, thing that's just so complicated. But the fact that it mimics the way I naturally think of trees in real life really helps. The fact that I've already been using them in file systems and just by, you know, being a Ruby developer helps. So yeah, I think this is going to be fun. I'm excited to get into binary trees and traversing trees and do more stuff with trees.
Yeah. And you know, what's really cool is some of the most scary CS problems that I used to think of as like terrifying. Yeah. I realized they're just tree problems. And then I was like, oh, okay, I got trees on my side. I know how trees work. I can figure this out. And once you
I'm down with the woods.
Yeah. That's our clip.
That's, down with the woods. There you go.
I'm new, definitely down
new
with
t-shirt
this.
Idea.
I'd buy it.
I think it's like our third or fourth amazing t-shirt idea. Down with the woods. There
I
we
know.
Go.
We just need to pivot to merchandising when this
we
is
do,
over.
We do.
It's clearly we've hit upon something.
Season three is just going to be a shop. That's what it's going to be. It's just going to be a store. No episodes, just t-shirts. Oh, and that is the end of today's show. So if you liked what you heard, leave us a review and make sure to check out Vaidehi's blog post on trees. A link to that is in your show notes.
Also, make sure to take a listen to the Dev Discuss podcast that I help make. It's the first original podcast from Dev, a global community of software developers of all backgrounds and experience levels. And the show covers burning topics that impact the daily lives of programmers and beyond. Hosted by Dev co-founders Ben Halpern and Jess Lee.
Vaidehi, you want to say goodbye?
Bye, everyone.
Thanks for listening. See you next week. Awesome. Okay.